Hey everyone, welcome back to Bodies. I'm Allison Berenger. We're going to do something a little different this week. I'll be playing three short stories created by independent producers. So, some background. As I mentioned at the end of every episode, Bodies is made with support from KCRW, an NPR member station out of Santa Monica, California. And the initiative that supports Bodies is called the Independent Producer Project. And every year, the Independent Producer Project puts on a competition called Radio Race, where audio makers from around the world get 24 hours to create a short nonfiction story from scratch. The theme this year was the new normal, and the winners were announced last week. This year, the Radio Race included a new category called the Bodies Award, and I chose three winning stories to air on the show today. Bodies stories typically take months to research and report and produce and edit and score. And so I have so much admiration for these three pairs of producers who created in just 24 hours audio stories full of intimacy and surprise and humor and tension and really exquisite use of sound. To start us off, in third place is a piece by Melanie Wong and Virginia Marshall, and it's about a girl named Elizabeth. The creators wrote to me that we often think of the new normal as a sad sort of theme involving loss. But with Elizabeth's new normal, there's joy, discovery, and surprise. This story really stuck out to me for the way that Melanie and Virginia used sound. Truly a story best told on the radio. Enjoy.
Turning pages in books makes a louder sound than I expected. Some machines in my house, they make noise even when they're not being used, and I didn't know that. I knew there were birds chirping before, but now I can hear like so many different kinds of birds chirping. I hear fans now, and I didn't even know they made sound before. Well, at first it was a little bit weird because it was really distracting, but now I've gotten used to it. I can also turn them off, and then I can't hear anything. My name is Elizabeth. I'm 12 years old. It is nice to have hearing aids. I think I got them probably about a month or a month and a half ago. They put pink stuff in your ear, and they like leave it in there for a little bit, and then when they take it out, it's the shape of your ear canal. They use that as a model, and then they make a hearing aid part. There's a piece that goes inside your ears. You got to choose the color of them, and I chose blue. It was really cool because I could hear my dad like talking to me, and his voice was so clear, and there was a fan in the room, and I could hear it, and it was really cool. It was like the feeling when like you go underwater and your ear gets clogged up and then you shake it out. It was like that. I can hear a lot of things a lot clearer. I learned that when you shuffle money around, like paper money in your hands, it makes like a loud sound. And it's a nice sound. I do like listening to music. I like a lot of different types of music. The funny thing is about my mom, she listens to heavy metal and like opera. I don't like heavy metal or opera. I think I would want people without hearing aids to know that if they knew them before they had the hearing aids and they had to speak loudly, maybe they could stop speaking so loudly. And it would make everyone's lives easier. They wouldn't have to shout, and we could still hear them. How loud do you think... Can you, like, act out how loud you think the difference is between someone with hearing aids and someone without? Like, say the same word.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good question. I'll say my name. So, like, a normal level, I say Ginger. But I would think if someone needed help hearing, maybe they'd hear, like, Ginger.
Yeah.
Is that kind of...
Yeah, that is how it is.
Can you do that, too? Like, kind of tell me the difference by speaking? How loud?
Well, now that I have hearing aids, most people talk on level like ginger, but I heard ginger. I don't know if I did a good job, but that's what I heard.
This piece was produced by Ginger Marshall and Melanie Wong as part of the 24-hour radio race from KCRW's Independent Producer Project.
In second place is a story by Anne Pope and Keke Marzigal. My favorite part of this piece is the beginning. It's very Bodies in that it examines the social contract that women are supposed to abide by without questioning. Anne and Keke actually had another idea for the radio race, but midway through, they decided to scrap it. So late that night, they found themselves just chatting and riffing off the theme. And that's when they realized their story was right in front of them the whole time. And they looked at each other and were just like, we should be recording this. The end result is a delightful first-person narrative. Here's Anne and Keke's piece.
In a way, I don't think it's something you can really ever be ready for because you don't know what it's going to feel like, and it doesn't feel the same every day. I'm definitely thinking about it when I meet people for the first time. Even if people pretend they never saw it, they can't unsee it. It happened. So I kind of have no choice but to figure out how to embrace it and just go with it. It's as if there is a social contract that women are supposed to abide by to create and maintain this illusion that we're not getting older. And so when you decide to stop dyeing your hair, you're breaking that contract. To me, it kind of feels like once you've broken it, you can't unbreak it. Once people have seen you with gray hair, you can't decide, okay, I didn't mean it. So basically, unless you pick up and move to another place where nobody knows you, like, you're out. You're out of the closet. I have now outed myself as a no longer young woman. It wasn't so much that I was ready to have gray hair, it's just that I was getting really tired of the time and energy that it took to not have gray hair. In a way, it's liberating because I'm not trying to hide anything. But now I think about it all the time. When you decide to kind of go with the status quo of, as a woman, dyeing your hair, it's kind of like a non-statement. It's kind of like a deliberate effort to fit in and not rock the boat and be somewhat complicit in this kind of societal plan for women to try to be young forever. Gray hair does kind of feel like a statement. There's some days when I'm more in the mood to make a statement than other days. Our society really stigmatizes that stage of women's lives in a way that I don't think men experience. Older men, like, they could still be the slick older guy with this, you know, the silver fox, the salt and pepper, oh, it's so distinguished, blah, blah, blah. No one ever said that about a woman with gray hair. I don't recall ever hearing that. In a way, I think having gray hair makes me sort of part of a club. The older ladies who don't give a fuck club. Except sometimes I do give a little bit of a fuck, and sometimes I give a lot of one, and sometimes I genuinely don't give any.
This piece was produced by Anne Pope and Keke Marzigal as part of the 24-hour radio race from KCRW's Independent Producer Project.
And in first place, the winner of the Bodies Award is Lucy McDonald and Daniel Higgett of Words Out Loud. Lucy and Daniel are partners and have been going through fertility treatment. This audio piece is one part of their journey to get pregnant. I loved this one because I felt like I was right there with Lucy. I was with her in the exam room. I was inside of her brain. This piece is all about intimacy, and I just felt like there was so much poetry and precision in the details that they chose to include. And in just 4 minutes, they constructed a story with tension and scenes and reflection. It felt very complete to me, and yet, as with so many body stories, the ending doesn't have a neat and tidy bow. One thing that was really striking to me about their creative process is that over the course of making this piece, they ended up having conversations with each other as partners that they hadn't had before. And I think that you can really hear that raw emotion coming through in this piece. So again, here's Lucy McDonald and Daniel Higgett of Words Out Loud.
Deciding to create a child must be the most intimate thing you can do. An act that is at its most private and its most intimate in the creation of a new life. Pregnancy itself is sort of intimacy made public. Women's bellies is this sort of strange expression of the most private act possible. But then you find it's not working. It's not happening. This special joint secret of intimate joy that you both shared becomes more of a weight, something you both have to carry, making it clear it's time to see a doctor. And then before you know it, from one doctor springs 5, 10, 20 people. Andrologists, surgeons, gynecologists, geneticists, nurses, pharmacists, all involved in the creation of your most personal hope, a baby. And I remember one of the first tests I ever had to have, an internal scan. And in the days running up to it, that anxiety over what to wear, making sure my legs were shaved and that my toenails were painted, sort of reminiscent of a date. But instead, my smooth legs and my red toenails were for a strange and random doctor and a nurse wielding a probe. So I'm lying on the bed, staring at the ceiling. The fluorescent lights are actually off, and the room is dim, in light that might be romantic in other circumstances, but it's definitely not romantic then. My knees are up high, and my legs are spread. It's not painful. That's what the lube must be for. But the feeling of having something foreign inside you that's not supposed to be there, it's so utterly horrible. When it was all over, and when I wrapped the paper sheet around me and shuffled off to get changed, wiped myself down with a tissue, my clearest recollection is thinking, I am never doing that again. That's it. That's my line. I'm never getting involved in anything that requires me to do that. So, you know, we'll have to find another way. I'm not doing that anymore. I wish I could say that's how it worked out. I've had more internal scans than I can count on my two hands. They've become so ordinary, so routine, that it's now my Pavlovian response. If I find myself in a doctor's office, I'm going to start unzipping my trousers, ready to be examined. I can walk through hospital corridors and tick off all the people that have seen my insides, and it's quite a few. What started out as a process of trying to create some kind of normal family has morphed into something otherworldly. Probes, drugs, tests, scans, with very little end in sight. This piece was produced by Words Out Loud as part of the 24-hour radio race from KCRW's Independent Producer Project.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for listening, and thank you to all the producers who participated in this year's radio race. This episode was mixed by Chuck P. Thanks to Kristen Lepore, managing editor of the Independent Producer Project at KCRW. I'm Allison Behringer. See you in 2 weeks for the 5th episode of Bodies.